5. Thank you, Juan. Appreciate that. And I'm going to have to switch batteries here. These are dying. And then we'll read this passage together. First John 5, I'm going to be reading today, verses 1 through 6. Appreciate Henry. He reminds me to bring batteries. Thank you, Henry. Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also, that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Let's pray. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit illuminate this passage to our hearts and help us to apply it to the situations of life, and that all of us will understand that you desire us not to just be nominal Christians, but to be victorious Christians. Help us not to be overwhelmed, but to be overcomers. Bless the message, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, it's been over 100 years since the Titanic met its fatal end. But the story of that tragic disaster continues to fascinate a new generation of people around the world. You know, out of over 2,200 people on board the Titanic, only 700 of them lived to tell about it. One such person was Eva Hart. Eva Hart was 7 years old at the time that the Titanic sank. Eva lost her father in that tragedy. But she went on to live a vibrant life, and she spoke frequently about the sinking of the Titanic and her approach to life thereafter. She was the last of 4 survivors who died just before the turn of the century. There are no survivors now alive from the Titanic. She was one of the last. Eva said something that struck me that I want to share with you because it ties in well with the morning message. I quote, "People I meet always seem surprised that I do not hesitate to travel by train, airplane, or even a ship. It is almost as if they expect me to be permanently quivering in my shoes at the thought of a journey. If I acted like that, I would have died of fright many years ago. I have learned to overcome and to be a survivor," unquote. You know, in our world today, we talk a lot about survivors. Just this past week, many of us witnessed the many sexual abuse survivors who face their evil offender Dr. Larry Nassar in court. And by the way, that's the largest sexual abuse scandal in the history of the United States. There are among us today 9/11 survivors, abuse survivors, tornado survivors, earthquake survivor, cancer survivors. And the list goes on and on. And that is a wonderful thing, that people can face tragedy in their life and not allow it to cripple them emotionally or physically. But today I want to talk to you about a more important kind of survival. Far more important is the ability to be a spiritual survivor in the world. There are people who are survivors physically, and maybe even emotionally, but not spiritually. It wasn't too long ago, we had among us a Holocaust survivor. In fact, she lives in Dover, if I'm not mistaken. And she experienced the Holocaust. She's a Holocaust survivor, but she's not a spiritual survivor. And I hope by the end of this message you understand more intimately what I'm talking about. You see, John writes to believers to help them survive in their present world, the first century. Things were wicked. Things were terrible. Satan was doing all he could to destroy the church of Jesus Christ in its infancy. And John, in his own way, makes it clear it's great to be a survivor, but he desires that we have much more. The idea is not just to survive, but to go onward to receive the prize from God. Amen? To get the victory. Do you know that the Bible does not use the word survivor in this passage, but it uses a similar word in the English. We find in verse 4 the word overcometh. The word overcometh is taken from the Greek word nikaio. Nikaio has a very, very interesting meaning in the original language. It means to prevail, to gain the victory, to come off victorious. And now you know why the people in the sports industry have adopted the word Nike. Because Nike comes from the Greek word Nikeo, which means to get the victory. And as a Christian, we need to do more than just be survivors. There are some among us who are survivors from illnesses, cancer, maybe a bad childhood. But if you allow that to ruin your life and your testimony, then you're just a survivor. You following me? God desires so much more. And if you're born again, you can have it. I don't want to settle for just surviving. I want to have victory. I want to be an overcomer. A lot of things that happen in people's lives kind of knock us right down. Sort of like knock you out of the ring. But you don't have to stay down. The difference between a survivor and one who's a spiritual survivor is one who continues in their faith even though they've been knocked down. I am proud of some of the people in this church who have been through some horrific ordeals. And we will never minimize their suffering. Some of them are survivors of Holocaust. Some are survivors of tragedy. Some of them are survivors of cancer. And I am very proud of them because they did not forsake their faith. That's not to say there was not a struggle there. But what they did is they nikao'd. They nikao'd. They gained the victory without surrendering their faith. We're going to look today at three aspects of being an overcomer. Now, not a lot of Bible teachers approach this passage this way. Most of them approach it more superficial, but I believe that most of you are to the point today where you don't need the milk anymore, but that we could get down to the meat. I find three things in this passage to help us to become overcomers. The first is that we must all understand an overcomer understands the love of God. So an overcomer loves. Why do I say that? Because a lot of people who have tragedy in their life begin to what? Have bitterness and anger. And they even get angry at God to the point where their faith is anemic. And so an overcomer is one who loves and still has a love for the Father. Even though they may not understand why they're going through what they do, they're like Job. They understand that God is allowing the suffering. But yet, they prevail in their trust in Jehovah God. Job said, yet, though he may slay me, I will trust him. Wow. That's a nikao. Verses 1 to 2 deal with us overcoming through love. Verses 2 and 3 deal with us being overcomers by being obedient. Sometimes when tragedy strikes in our lives, we come to a point where we say, well, God, I'm so angry at you, I'm not going to obey you anymore. I'm not going to follow your word anymore. That's a survivor, but that's not a spiritual survivor. That's not an overcomer. And then last, verses 4 to 6, an overcomer will exhibit faith. Faith is the victory. Let's begin as we look again at verse 1 of chapter 5. John writes, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's a very simple statement. In fact, John is just reiterating all that he said in chapter 4. And we've been there, so I'm not going to labor it very hard, except to say that the Bible teaches us without Jesus in our lives, we're spiritually dead. You see, that's the doctrine of total depravity. That man has nothing good in and of himself to offer to God that he might be born again. What do you have? You often heard me say from the pulpit, you can't get better to get saved. You have to get saved to get better. You can't get better till you do get saved. Why do I say that? Because what do you have inside of you to make you better? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have sin. So, well, what do I do? Deal with the sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so that's all John is saying. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now that part becomes a little ambiguous. Jesus said, and maybe this will help clear that up, in the gospel according to John, toward the latter part of that gospel, in chapter 16, verse 33, a verse that I love, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. Because in the world you shall have tribulation. So, he didn't lie to us. Jesus told it the way it is. You're not going to live in this world without having some problems and some troubles, because we live in a fallen world. Even nature is groaning against the curse of the fall. Paul said, all of nature just groans. Why? Because it's out of sync with the way the Creator made it to be. And by the way, so are you and so am I. Jesus went on to say, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Now you may know Jesus, but there's a difference of knowing Jesus here and having Jesus here. This shows us that a person who does not put his faith in Jesus Christ, he cannot be saved. And I know that sounds narrow-minded to a Gnostic world, but it is biblical. This faith is not a historic faith where one believes that Jesus exists. A lot of people believe Jesus exists. In fact, we know the Bible tells us that the demons know the Bible and tremble too, by the way. One can believe that George Washington exists, but one must believe who Jesus Christ is. Do you get what John is saying? Let's go back. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the what? Messiah. Christ is born of God. You can't just believe, well, Jesus was a good man. Jesus is a historic figure. Jesus was a great prophet. Jesus did a lot of good. God says that's not good enough. You must believe that He is the Son of God. The second person of the Trinity, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, the Messiah. And He is in you if you're saved. And if He is in you, you are an overcomer. Why are you an overcomer? Because He said, I have overcome the world. Where's Jesus? He's in you. He's in you. And you are in Him. And He has overcome the world. And although life is going to throw us some bad stuff, He's never going to leave you nor forsake you, and you can be an overcomer. The sad truth is today that too many Christians are asked to be a Job, and they throw in the towel. They curse God. They do what Job's wife told him to do. Remember? Remember, she said, why don't you just curse God and die? That's the world. That's not an overcomer. And there are people that overcome from tragedy, but they're bitter against God the rest of their life. They do not have a spiritual victory. And that person will die and go out of this world and be eternally separated from God. How is that a survivor? It's not. Whoever loves this person, the Bible says, this Jesus, must love those that also love Jesus. That's what the remainder of that verse means. Could say it like this. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is now a born-again child of God. And those who love the Father will also love the Father's children, right? Because we're all one family. I try to stress that every communion. That we may not have the same blood coursing through our veins, but we have the very same blood that washed away our sins. So we are family. So you can't say, and we touched on this last week, that you love God, but you hate your brother. Remember I said that's like saying I love swimming, but I hate the water. The Holy Spirit of God will spread the love of God abroad in your heart to others. That's not saying we're always going to see eye to eye, but that there is an a hate that's intrinsic in our fallen spirit. All born again believers are positionally overcomers. So what do you mean by that? Well, if Jesus is in you and he said, I have overcome the world, then positionally you are an overcomer. He's given you the power to overcome no matter what comes your way. Even death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear no evil. Hey, we're all going to die. Anybody here not going to die? We're all going to die. I'm not afraid to die. Because I know who's in me. And I know where I'm going. Now, I don't want to know how. Okay? That's just being human. But I can overcome because no matter what happens, no matter how bad life may be, when I close my eyes and say that final goodbye, absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. An overcomer knows this and he obeys. We're moving on to how the overcomer will not forsake during the time of tragedy being obedient. He says in verse 3, for this is the love of God. God is in us. This is the love of God that we keep His what? Commandments. A lot of people have tragedy, and I'm talking about Christian people, and that's an excuse now to turn from God. I've had people tell me that. I've had a man come to me and he goes, I used to go to church, I used to pray, I used to read the Bible, but then God took my father and I'm not talking to him again. I don't want to obey his word. I don't go to church anymore. Well, you know, going to church won't save you anyway, but walking away from the fellowship, you know, of God's saints is going to lead to the ruination of one's spirit. God provided the church for us to grow. We are people who need relationships. The first relationship we need is to have God as our Father. And the only way we can have God as our Father is through Jesus Christ. The first way for a child of God to love his brother and sister is to obey God the Father. You know, if you love the Father, the parent as it were, you will love the child. It all works together. He says his commandments also are not grievous. I looked up that word because I wanted to be sure it conveyed the same kind of message in the original. And it does. It conveys the idea that we obey his commandments and they're not burdensome. You know, before I got saved, people would tell me, you know, you need to get saved, yada yada, and all I thought about, gee, is if I get saved, I gotta do all these burdensome things. And that's what keeps a lot of people from coming to Christ, because they say, oh, if I become a Christian, I have to go to church. If I go to Christian, I gotta be in the Bible. Oh, if I go to church, I gotta be good to my neighbor. If I get saved, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. And you see how they're looking at being obedient to God is what? Grievous, is burdensome. But you know, after I got saved, none of that ever bothered me. Because I wanted to do it. Why? Because it gave me a new spirit. The old spirit don't want to do it. Or we call it what we call the old nature. But the new nature will. Because it says that, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What? Our faith. Our faith. So an overcomer obeys. And he doesn't find being obedient to be grievous. And folks, I'm telling you this because most of the people that you're going to witness to, that you want to bring to Christ, that's where their problem lies. Well, I don't want to be one of those Christians. But if they go to church 3 times a week, are they crazy? That's burdensome to them. But to the Christian who loves the Lord, who saved their life, has changed, you can't get enough of God. Can't get enough to be with the saints of God. Although that's the way it should be. I'll give you an illustration. 2 people are on a cruise ship. And one of them is told to wear the life jacket because, you know, if the ship goes down like the Titanic, it may very well save your life. The life jacket will save you if the ship is in peril of sinking. And so put the life jacket on, it's fine. You know that it's there to protect you. You know it's for your good. And so it's not burdensome. It's not cumbersome. But then somebody else puts it on. And their attitude is, oh, this thing, it looks terrible on me. It doesn't match my shoes, you know. And they're all worldly in their thinking, you know. And they're like, I can't wear this. It's kind of tight. And so they take it off because it's burdensome. That's the difference. The Christian knows that God's word and God's principles and God's precepts and God's mandates are there to protect us. Amen. They're there to groom us. They're there to mature us, to perfect us, to guide us, to make us all that God wants us to be. He sees what you can be. See, you don't even see what you can be. You're not God. He's the potter and you're the clay. Don't let the cares of this world destroy that. Mark said in his gospel in chapter 4, the 19th verse, he says, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in. This is Mark's way rather of saying how we can allow the world to corrupt us. And he doesn't say corrupt, but he uses the word choke the word. And it becomes unfruitful. Don't let the philosophy of the world cause you to become unfruitful. We are to be dead to sin. We are to be no longer under its influence. We are no longer devoted to sin. Sin is our enemy. You know, the greatest thing that helps me not to sin is to know that every sin that I sin is placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know that for every sin that we place on Christ, He suffers for that sin? You know that, right? He died for the sins of the whole world. And so when we become insensitive to our sinning, we need to reflect on that. That Jesus paid for all of our sin. If you have a difficult time understanding that, go read from John chapter 17. It's known as Jesus or Christ's high priestly prayer. It's the Son of God praying unto the Father who is God. And you'll see how much He cares for us. Number 3, an overcomer exhibits faith. And we find the rest of this in verse 4 to 6. Where He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now it might sound ambiguous to you, but all He's saying is if you have Jesus, you have the overcomer in you. Did not we read? Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And so if you're saved, if you're born again, you have the overcomer in you. This is He came by water and blood. You know what it's saying there. Jesus became a man. God became a man. Even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness because the Spirit is truth. The Holy Spirit has a ministry today different than Jesus. The Holy Spirit has a ministry to guide you and I in all truth. And if you will pray that way to God, the Holy Spirit will always illuminate truth to your heart. The Holy Spirit will always let you know if something is heresy. How do I know that? The Bible tells us. Go, keep your finger there. Go quickly to John chapter 16. And I got to hurry because our time is running out. Gospel according to John. And I believe I want you to go to chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus is speaking. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, you'll see these are the words of the Savior, although the whole Bible truly is. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He says, it is expedient for you that I go away. In other words, my ministry here is done. The Father sent me to come to die, but I'm not going to leave you without guidance to the truth. And this is when he says, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go away, he said, if I go not away, the Comforter, the word there in the Greek is the Paraclete, it is the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. You're speaking of the devil. Satan, activity is proliferated. But the Holy Spirit's activity is too. And he is in you to help you to see Satan's working in the world. I have yet many things, Jesus says to them, to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now note this, this is the verse I really want you to hit on. How be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into, what's the next two words? All truth. Do you believe that? If you believe that by faith, he will do it. If you don't, he won't. Why is that? Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. You must believe that what God has said for you, he will do. And what he has done for others, as the song says, he will do for you. God loves you. You can be an overcomer no matter what has happened in your life. I understand there are tragedies and it is sad. We're not given, you know, an exemption from suffering. Through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can face our trials, not only survive them, but have victory over them. Because it is not in our strength. It is never in our strength. It is always seeking Him. And God is glorified when we go to Him and say, Father, I am at my weakest. And that's when you become strong. Take the time to read 2 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul says, I went three times to God over the infirmity of my flesh. And each time God said, my strength is what? Sufficient for you. I have to close. Are you struggling with your faith? Is it sometimes hard for you to believe God? I'm not talking about believing in God, but believing God for His provision. To walk by faith is not simply to believe in God, but rather to believe God for all of your needs. That He loves you that much. Do you believe that? See, if every Christian in this room right now were completely honest and transparent before our Father, they would have to admit, because I know I have to, there's some areas in our relationship with the Father that really do need improvement. And when we'll face that, we'll become overcomers. But to sweep it under the rug and not admit it to the Father, it's foolishness, isn't it? Because He already knows you. Why not just be honest and transparent with God? Because God wants you to be an overcomer. He wants you to be able to take the tragedy that has come in your life and to use it for trial. How many people have we seen be victims of illness, victims of imprisonment? I think of Pastor Saeed. In an Iranian prison. But when he got out and was free, did he come home and swear at God and disobey God? No. He was an overcomer. You can be too. Listen, I'm going to close. It's my job as your pastor to pray for you and to help you to receive what the Bible says is a full reward. Listen, I know you're saved, but I want you to be a spiritual overcomer. Be an overcomer by the faith that saved you. The same faith that saved you is the same faith that will deliver you from surrendering. The book of Revelation says this, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. So that tells me Jesus isn't asking you or me to do anything that he didn't do. In Revelation 12, 21, go home and read that. He said, even as I also overcame and am set down with the Father in his throne. So he that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. I hope you're hearing, because God loves you. Let's have every head bow, every eye closed. Father, I don't know who truly needs this message this morning, but I'm sure there are some that do, and others that can have their faith reinforced by this message, that they have been through the mill, as they say. They have been through the trials and tribulation, and they are overcomers. Bless them, and may you use their testimony, Father, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's one among us who's not saved, cannot say for sure if they die to go to heaven, that this day they say, oh God, I know you love me. Save me from my sin. I accept Christ who died and rose again. And I surrender my life to him. I pray you pray that prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our songbook.